Hey, Swifties! Welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clownelia Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode.
It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift, especially when it is officially, TTPD release week. Now, before we get started, as always, this podcast is merely an expression of my thoughts and opinions. And while I would absolutely love, shout out, to be associated or affiliated with Taylor Swift or Taylor Nation, I am not. And this podcast is just me sharing my thoughts and opinions. Now, Taychella. I went to Coachella, as you guys know. Are you sick of me? I had a blast. I had a ball. And as predicted, a lot of you guys thought I was crazy. Taylor was in attendance. Now, I'm going to take you guys through the whole weekend and give you my honest and raw thoughts, if you will, because I have quite a few. I'm going to be fully honest with you. I was a nervous wreck going into Coachella, mainly because I'm really going to expose myself here. I am a major control freak. I'm sure you guys have kind of picked up on that. I constantly have about 600 things on my plate, and I am a total energizer bunny and run myself to the ground quite frequently, but that's a personal problem that I am working on. But I was nervous about the aspect of like the large crowds, not feeling in control, being just like all over the place. I thought it was going to be super overwhelming. I thought that people were going to be like bumping into me all the time. I just wasn't sure what it was going to be like. And let me ease your anxiety now if you have ever avoided Coachella for this reason. This was truly the most seamless experience I have ever had. I've gone to Disneyland upwards of 50 plus times in my lifetime. I have gone to many a concerts, many big scale events, and this was smooth like butter. From the beginning of the experience, let me bring you guys back. I got an email from YouTube, which as you guys know, YouTube were the ones who sent me to the Eras Tour film premiere. I got an email from YouTube about a week before Coachella. It was maybe like 8 or 9 days before. And they had invited me to a weekend too. And I was like, Taylor has a new album coming out. I'm really grateful for the invite, but is there any way I could go weekend one? And they were like, yeah, sure, that's fine. So anyways, I was beside myself because what a great experience to try something new when it's in partnership with an amazing brand. And you guys know I post the podcast over on YouTube as well as all of my content that I put on my personal social media pages. We love YouTube. Shout out. So from start to finish, you know, I had to give my concept to the brand. I had to plan ahead of time, obviously, all the outfits. Getting there, I was nervous because Matt and I had to drive separately because our schedules were a little off. So I had the most serendipitous experience booking the most incredible Airbnb. A lot of you guys picked up on where I was staying, which was the Legacy Villas at La Quinta. They are like condos. They're like private residences you rent out, but they're not like someone's house. It's just a vacation villa. These, just to give you perspective, it is the most luxurious option, like at all possible, near or around Coachella, the music festival itself. And I somehow managed to score. Someone must have. The only plausible reason for this, there was zero availability anywhere that was like worthwhile. And I was really thinking about not going because there was, you know, there was like Motel 6s listed for like $800, $900 a night. So I was like, I don't know. I don't want to pay like all this crazy money. I ended up scoring the Legacy Villas literally like 6 days before for $300 a night, which is absolutely unheard of. It is the best option for shuttling to and from Coachella because La Quinta, the property, has its own shuttle that'll take you from La Quinta to the festival itself. Whereas all the other shuttles for Coachella, will anybody's welcome to take them. Like they're basically just like a meeting spot. Anybody can meet there and hop on the shuttle. So this one was great because you knew it wasn't going to be overly packed. You knew it was going to be really fast since it was just for people who were staying at La Quinta. So that was chef's kiss, amazing, and well worth the $150 for the shuttle pass per person for the weekend. Plus someone brought up a really good point to me that Ubering to and from Coachella would typically cost like a bajillion dollars because the Ubers are jacked up in price for the whole weekend. So it worked out great. Fantastic experience when it comes to accommodations and shuttle. Now, the festival itself, I really want to get into. I'll walk you guys through all the different shows that I went to and my thoughts and obviously Taylor. But here is my biggest beef that I have, if I'm being fully transparent with you guys. And this is just overarching. Let me give you like my overarching thoughts and then I'll hone it in a little. One of my biggest struggles as a quote unquote influencer, I'm trying to be better about just owning the fact that that's what I am. And I love what I do. So I should be proud of myself because I work really hard, period. One of my biggest gripes when it comes to influencers is lack of transparency. And I have become extremely conscious of how I show up online because I never want to be a different person online than I am in real life. And what I find is I meet so many influencers and they are so self-centered and have really no personality traits outside of being an influencer. And while I'll be the first to say I am very career driven and my career is my, you know, my life is my career is my life in terms of what I share online, I try to be a bit more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a deep person with thoughts and feelings outside of taking cute photos and posting videos on the internet. Like, you know, that's kind of my two cents on the thing. And how I show up online is really how I feel in my real life. Sure, I'm not bouncing off the walls energetic all the time. And some people will say to me, you know, oh, you're a lot more like soft-spoken in person. Not soft-spoken. I lied. No one's ever called me soft-spoken. The people have said like I'm calmer in real life. And it's like, yeah, because I'm not going to be like, screaming at you like I'm screaming into my iPhone all the time. But anyways, I digress. So what I was expecting going into Coachella is a lot of the people who had said, you know, oh, I'm going to be at Coachella this year. I'm going to Coachella weekend one, like people I follow or people that I know from meeting here in LA, come to realize all these influencers like pretend or like fake that they're going to Coachella, but they're not actually at Coachella, the music festival. And what I learned very quickly is there are a ton of like pop-ups, activations, parties that brands or companies host all throughout the vicinity of Coachella, the music festival, where influencers are like, oh, I'm going to Coachella, get ready with me for Coachella, but none of them actually are going to the festival. And that's what I found most puzzling. Not to say there are zero influencers at Coachella, there is a plethora of them. But that brings me to my second point of the misconception of Coachella itself. This is like a 200,000 person event. And I think online, Coachella has become people have really weaponized Coachella and made it seem like it's just like this playground for influencers. And, you know, it's people taking photos everywhere and it's all about the outfits. And sure, people really put a lot of effort into their outfits, but there's also like the average Joe who's wearing his board shorts and t-shirt from Target, you know, just like there is at any other event. So I feel like it gets this bad reputation that like influencers have quote unquote ruined Coachella. And I hate that aspect of being an influencer where a lot of stuff is just really generalized and negatively frowned upon because I'm an influencer. I had a fantastic time. Matt and I were able to, you know, I shot content for a very small portion of my day. You know, it was basically everywhere. Anything I would have normally done without shooting content, I did with just like using my phone for a couple seconds here or there throughout the day. I dressed true to myself. You know, I wore clothes that I felt comfortable in. But what really irked me was the people, I realized so many people fake that they're going. And I've noticed this happens with Fashion Week as well. If you're newer, I attend Fashion Week every year. I skipped this February just because I felt like I wasn't super aligned this season just with timing and I was stressed and there was a lot going on. But I typically go every February and September. And I have found the same as well with Fashion Week that a lot of influencers will fake online like, oh, I'm going to New York Fashion Week. And they're not actually going to any fashion shows or presentations. They're going to like the Liquid IV pop-up. And there's no problem with that. I'm not saying there is any issue at all with attending or supporting brands that you enjoy. But where I find issue is like the lying aspect of like, get ready with me to go to Coachella. Like Coachella is the music festival. You're not going to Coachella. You're going to a pop-up for a brand. You know, why aren't you saying that? Why are you like alluding to your followers? You know, that's where I get frustrated with this industry as a whole. And I try not to get worked up about it because it's just motivation for me to make sure I'm showing up as authentically as possible. But please know, you know, as a quote unquote influencer myself, I had truly the most wonderful time. And you don't have to be an influencer to have a wonderful time. Literally, people were having the time of their lives and it didn't matter if you were blue, purple, green, gray, black, white, young or old. There were people with newborn babies. There were people with their whole family there with their kids. I really wish that online like could capture the essence because I felt like it was the closest thing I've found to the feeling of the Eras Tour in a long time, where people are just there to let loose, have fun, discover new music, and all that jazz. Now, that was a tangent and a half. Those are my 2 cents in terms of Coachella and all that jazz. A lot of you guys who follow the podcast and me online are actually foreign and don't live in the US. So to give you some perspective, it is held at a place called Empire Polo Club. That probably means nothing to you. It meant nothing to me. But essentially, it's like a massive fairground. Think of like wherever you would host like a circus or a carnival, just like big open grassy areas that they have pre-built, you know, little cement areas that are transformed into like an area for food or a bathroom area. There is truly so much to do. I really liken it to Disneyland. Like, you could ride rides all day, or you could not ride rides at all, and you could just enjoy food and walking around and going to shops and also taking pictures and doing whatever you want. That is how I felt about the festival. So I definitely now care less about the lineup, because I feel like every year I'm like, oh, the lineup doesn't excite me. I really felt like it didn't matter, the lineup. You know, you could walk around, and if you saw a performance that looked energetic or interesting or exciting, you could join in, watch a song or two, and keep it moving, you know? Which brings me into the shows that I did attend. So Lana Del Rey, Sabrina Carpenter, Chapel Roan, Ice Spice, Sublime, Bleachers, La Seraphim, No Doubt, Bebe Rexha, Coi Leray, and Taking Back Sunday. So that's quite a big amount of shows for, what was that, 3 days? Lana was fantastic. I'll just kind of go through and give you my thoughts on each of them. Lana was fantastic. A lot of people thought that it was sleepy, but I think it's whether it's your cup of tea or not. Think if Taylor performed Folklore and Evermore, but at Coachella, like that section of the Eras Tour. It's either you love it or you don't. Like, my mom just watched the Eras Tour film the other day, and she was like, Folklore was kind of boring to me. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, and same with Lana. Like, if Lana's not your cup of tea, I could see how it could be sleepy to you. But she was so angelic. I felt like I was being seduced. I feel like she could do so little but so much at the same time, and captured this entire group of people's attention by just standing there singing into a microphone, which is really hard to do. She's also absolutely stunning. I think I want to dye my hair that like light brown color that she has, because it's so pretty. But on the flip side, and this is not me throwing shade, it's just a general thought. Sabrina Carpenter, to me, I was actually most excited for her set, and it ended up being my absolute least favorite of the weekend. And I say that not as a dig to her, but I felt like what Matt and I landed upon after watching a portion of her set is there was too much going on. It very much felt like she was trying to kind of do what Taylor does on the Eras Tour, with like tons of moving pieces and parts and dancers and transitions and things going on, that it really took away from, I think, her. It was really distracting, in my opinion, and it kind of worked against her. Like, she was trying to get her piano to work. It wasn't plugged in. And she was just like making her way from one part of the stage to the other. And I felt like she seemed like she was thinking a lot during the performance, and it just didn't come off as uppity and exciting and energetic as I think it could have. That's my honest opinion. No dig at her. I think she's adorable and cute as a little Polly Pocket. But on the flip side, the absolute best show that was underrated AF was Chapel Roan. I'm a full Chapel Roan girly now. I didn't realize she was opening for Olivia Rodrigo on the Guts Tour. I had no idea. I had really never heard of Chapel Roan until I saw her on the list for the lineup, and I just started looking up people once I found out I was going. She was so electric, so engaging. I truly feel like her stage was too small for her. She could have totally worked a bigger stage, and her stage presence. It was really, really fun to watch. Her makeup was fun. She was very like Gen Z forward. For the girls and the gays were definitely like fully there and ready for her. And it was just a blast. It was really, truly a blast. I cannot wait to see her perform again. Ice Spice, this was not my cup of tea. A lot of booty. I'll just leave it at that. A lot of booty happening. But I did want to go to support and just check it out. You know, I'm always down for new things. The outfit was a choice. Not my personal cup of tea, but great performer. I was thoroughly entertained. Great performer, really cute set. She had this like little blow up thing of her face, and her dancers were fantastic and really fun to watch. And then, of course, this is where I went absolutely feral and lost my mind. If you guys follow me over on Instagram, you probably saw my reel that I posted. And mind you, you don't really have service like throughout the festival. There are certain areas where you have like Wi-Fi that you can get, but the service is terrible. So I did not realize while standing in the crowd for Ice Spice that Taylor was literally in the crowd in front of me. So I am jumping up and down, like freaking out when I hear her go, "Shout out to Taylor Swift." I like throw my phone at Matt. I'm like, "Record it." And I'm just freaking out because I thought she was like bringing Taylor out, but she started playing the recording of Karma. I still didn't care. It was just so fun. Everybody's screaming. Everybody's freaking out, singing along. She does her part, and it was like maybe a minute long. But I didn't know until after the fact that Taylor was in the crowd and could probably hear my crazy screech of a scream. Hopefully she heard it and felt supported. I was going absolutely feral. And that was kind of a blast to know that she was like so close but so far. And that goes for the Bleachers show as well. That was the first show she was spotted at. Let me tell you, Jack Antonoff, sir, we need to have a chat. This man is the most coy, humble, soft-spoken dude every time we see him. And then you give him a guitar and microphone and throw him up on stage, and he was the freaking Energizer Bunny. This man was electric. I can't even describe to you how I was entrenched in their performance, and I only knew like two songs. Everybody was bebopping around and dancing, and I felt like that was the most engaged audience of any of the shows that I saw. Really, really enjoyable, and I think I'm going to be going back and listening to, what is the album? I was just listening to it. I think it was one of their newer albums. Very entertaining, to say the least. I don't have too many thoughts on a lot of the other performances. La Sarafem, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, was really cute. I'm like kind of getting into K-pop, so that was fun to see. You guys know I went to the Twice concert. Why did I say once? I said once because at the Twice concert, a Swiftie gave me a once friendship bracelet. No Doubt was really fun. I, like a fool, me and Matt wanted to go check out the Coi Leray show during No Doubt because I love that song from Coi Leray where she's like, girls are players too. So we were like, oh, let's go catch Coi Leray for a couple minutes and come back for the rest of No Doubt. Literally, it must have been as we walked away, she brought out Olivia Rodrigo. So I totally missed that, which is a big womp, womp, womp. But whatever. It is what it is. Takeaways in terms of Taylor. I'm so glad that she is truly living her best life. Travis can fit her in the palm of his hand because he is so large and in charge. And I will not lie that I have watched every angle and every clip of them from that like 3 hours that they had at Coachella approximately 13 million times. And I have no shame in rewatching and watching again and again and again, even though I was literally there. Anywho, let's go ahead and transition and get into some of the submissions because I had a really fun one today that I wanted to chat with you guys about. This one comes from M. The letter M. And they said, can you cover the most underrated songs from each album? Which I thought was actually a really fun submission. And I thought that if you guys wanted or liked, I could cover this in a whole episode. But I thought I could get, instead of like my opinion, what I could do is do the least streamed songs from every album. It gave me that idea. Because as I was going through each album to pull what I think is the most underrated, I didn't realize that Spotify on the desktop next to each song actually tells you how many streams each song has. And I was a little shooketh to learn some of these songs had a lot lower streams than I would have expected compared to other ones on the album. So without further ado, debut. The Other Side of the Door, to me, should be one of her most played songs or stream songs. And I can't believe more people aren't talking about this song. The outro is her most elite outro of any song in her discography. You can fight me on that. I think it's fantastic. While I know it's a very loved song off of debut, I don't think it gets enough love in terms of like playtime or attention in general and in big conversation. Fearless, one of my like maybe top 10 favorite Taylor songs is Hey Steven. And again, like the streaming numbers were lower than I thought. And I don't hear people talk about Hey Steven a lot. I just love the hum that she does in there. The like, you know what I'm talking about? I feel like none of her songs really have the sound of Hey Steven. And I really like her voice in Hey Steven. I feel like it's like a little softer than the rest. Am I making that up? I don't know. Speak Now. I know that Better Than Revenge is a popular song, but I feel kind of the same way as The Other Side of the Door. Like, why does Better Than Revenge not get played or talked about more? I really like the beginning with the like drums where it's like da 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 da. That doesn't describe it at all. That's terrible. You know what I'm talking about. Go listen to Better Than Revenge. Red. I feel like this is the most underrated song out of all of these 10 songs that I chose, and that is Starlight. Do you guys like Starlight? I feel like if you tell me the title Starlight, I can't sing it for you like off the top of my head, but every time I hear it, I'm like, wait, I know all the words and I really like this song, so why do I not listen to it more? That's probably my most underrated not listened to song out of this list. 1989, I Wish You Would. I really like that song. It's 2 a.m. in your room. Windows crash, something, something, think of you. Is that that? Am I singing all the wrong songs? Hopefully that's right. Reputation. Okay, this shook me when I saw the stream numbers for this. Reputation has crazy stream numbers in general, but New Year's Day. I love New Year's Day. I feel like I liken it to like Mirror Ball. Is that weird? I think that's kind of weird. Not in terms of like storyline, but just like the sound. I feel like if you like Mirror Ball, you like New Year's Day. Does that make sense? Lover. I feel like Daylight. It's at the end of the album. I feel like a lot of people love The Archer off of Lover, The Man, You Need to Calm Down, Death by a Thousand Cuts. But Daylight, because there, to me, are so few skips on Lover, I feel like Daylight is overlooked. Folklore, I think you guys already know what I'm going to say. Last Great American Dynasty is one of her most elite songs, Fight Me. I talked about this over on Patreon. I did an exclusive episode earlier this week, which you're welcome to go join and listen to. It's open to junior and seniors tier of membership, which is either $5 or $10. You choose which tier works for you. And you have access every month on the 15th. I drop a new bonus episode. So the bonus episode over on Patreon this week was a deep dive on Clara Bow and everything you need to know in preparation for listening to track 16 on Torture Poets Department. So I had said that I feel like Clara Bow is going to sound or be structured like The Last Great American Dynasty. Because if you have learned anything about Clara Bow or seen the deep dive video that I posted over on my Instagram reels, I feel like Taylor draws a lot of inspiration from Clara Bow's decision making, how she carried herself in the industry. And I love how she kind of does that twist on words in Last Great American Dynasty, where it starts out where she's like talking about it as if she's not involved. And then she switches the narrative like, so then it was bought by me. And you're like, wait, what? So I could see her doing something similar with Clara Bow. Evermore, Right Where You Left Me is an 11 out of 10 song to me. I think that's one of my most played of 2023 and 2024. I play that song all the time. I absolutely love it. And I don't know how that song is not talked about more. Do you guys like that song? I think it's so utterly fantastic. I like how it goes. I just like the flow of it. Last one is Midnight's. And I think Midnight's most underrated song is Question. Can I ask you a question? Did you ever have someone kiss you in a crowded room? I thought it would be fun to talk about Tortured Poets Department, as if we have not been talking about it ad nauseum, which song I think will be most underrated from that. And my gut check on that was Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? I don't know. I don't know why. That's the one that's speaking to me that's going to be underrated, but curious to know which song you feel is most underrated from her discography. So go ahead and let me know in the comments down below. Now, I had mentioned Patreon earlier and the options for membership and listening and tuning in to the bonus episode there. But I wanted to shout out some of our newest members over on the Patreon. So without further ado, we've got Miss Amanda, Ren, Melissa, Kayla, Andrea, Sus, S-U-S-S, Sus, that's kind of fun, Paige, and Alexandria. Thank you guys all so very much for joining Patreon. Just to give you guys a little context, joining the Patreon helps support me and all of the blood, sweat, tears, and labor and free time that I put into all of my Taylor content and the podcast and everything like that. So I would love to have you over there. We have group chats where we talk about all things Taylor. We have posts that go up where I have discussion topics, freebies every month. I've got a really fun album. What is it? For Torture Poets Department, it's like a listening document for your listening party. Or if you're listening by yourself, totally fine too. The document is great for parties or for just one person. And you kind of like keep track of your thoughts as you're listening to each song. It's really fun, really cute. And you can make like predictions ahead of time and then after listening to it. So that's available over on the Patreon, and you can join anytime and get access to everything that's already been uploaded. So it's really fun. And you can always join it and try it out and cancel it if you don't like it. Anywho, by the time we talk next, we will have listened to TS11. And I don't know if I'm ready for that, but we have to be. I'm so excited. Thank you guys, as always, for being here. Please leave a rate or review, share this with a friend. Let me know if you have any submissions or thoughts, questions, concerns, topic requests, guests that you want on the podcast. I do have to text K-Tone. Want to see if he wants to be back on it, because a lot of you guys requested having him back. So maybe I'll have him on so we could discuss our thoughts on TTPD. But until then, my name is Reagan. Thank you guys so much for joining, and I will see you on the next one. Bye!
Tuning into today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time.